Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season Ticket. I'm your host, Chris Gasper. It's Wednesday, January 31st. We are in Bloomington, Minnesota at the Mall of America as we ramp up to Super Bowl 52. On Tuesday, NBC, the network broadcasting the Super Bowl, made all of their on-air talent available to discuss the game. That meant we had an opportunity to catch up with former Patriot Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison never shied away from giving his opinions, and he certainly didn't shy away from giving his opinions about the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots in this game. Interestingly enough, the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 39 back in Jacksonville, it was Rodney Harrison who delivered the Lombardi Trophy to Foxborough.
Down the middle of the field, the pass is picked off by Harrison. Rodney Harrison takes it in, and 9 seconds remain, and the New England Patriots are on their way to solidifying their team as an NFL dynasty.
13 years later, the Patriots have another chance to repeat as Super Bowl champions and win 3 out of 4 by beating the Philadelphia Eagles. This time, Rodney Harrison won't be able to seal that victory on the field, but he will be discussing the game and breaking it down. When I was the Patriots beat writer, Rodney Harrison was one of my favorite players to talk to. He was outspoken, he was blunt, he was quick to kid. Rodney Harrison was a hard-hitting safety on the field. He is now a hard-hitting analyst for NBC.
Rodney, what's up, man?
Hey, my brother.
Hey,
what's happening, man?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Yeah. Hey, what's up?
I remember when you was like a youngin'.
Yeah, I was. I always knew you were going to do this. So.
I never did, though.
Really?
Never.
Really?
I thought I was going to coach.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. How do you enjoy this side of the game?
You know what? I enjoy it. I enjoy working with Dan Patrick. He's taught me so much, and Coach Dungy. And, you know, everyone says, I'm surprised that you and Dungy, you get along so well. And then some people act like we don't like each other. But it's tremendous, man, just the opportunity to hang out there. There's Al Michaels. He's like a legend. You know what I'm saying? Chris Collinsworth. And a little guy like me from Markham, Illinois, to be right here is just, it's all God, man.
Just want to ask you about the game here. So the Patriots, you look at this season, two of the top five players are out. Julian Edelman goes down in the preseason. Dante Hightower tears that pec against Atlanta. How are the Patriots constantly able to lose these players but keep going, and not only keep going, but keep going at such a high level, a championship level?
It's expectation level, man. It's there. And when you think about the backups, they're all just as prepared as the starters. And that's the thing that really impressed me about Coach Belichick, because he made sure that everyone was prepared basically the same way. So there's not a lot of drop-off. When I got hurt, James Sanders came in and he did his thing, and it wasn't that much of a drop-off. And that's what you've seen over the last 18, 19 years or whatever.
When you look at this Patriots defense, obviously the first four games of the year, they struggled. They busted coverages like I've never seen. That was my question to you. How concerned are you against this Philadelphia Eagles offense, all the RPOs and the decisions they're going to have to make quickly that secondary can prevent the big plays, which the Vikings could not?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think the most important thing for the Patriots defense is to keep it simple. Don't try a lot of exotic things. You need to keep it simple. I think the Patriots, unlike a lot of other teams' defenses, they're going to play a lot of tight man-to-man coverage. I get those corners. They're going to come down. They're going to jam those guys. So when he's faking, there's not that easy little lane where Foles can just complete an easy pass. I think Belichick will get after these guys and force Foles to beat them down the field.
Does it blow you away that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are still doing this? I mean, the last time they faced the Eagles, you were on the team. You know, you get a Super Bowl ring there. You clinched that thing with the interception. All these years later, they're still doing this.
The only thing that really surprises me is not the physical ability to do it, probably the mental ability to be able to mentally, and this is the thing, the most impressive thing about Tom Brady, is to be able to keep that mental focus for all those years, to keep that intensity, to keep that training level for such a long time is just really remarkable. Because you wake up sometimes, you look at your bank account, okay, I'm financially set, my wife wants me to retire, I'm just going to retire. But he keeps going, and it's just amazing, because it's not just physical talent. It's, you know, you have to dig deep in your heart and your mind to try to, you know, play, and Tom's been doing it for a long time.
I know when you play, we used to ask you stupid questions like, so-and-so has the blueprint. I thought it was so pretty good so far. So far, so good. But you know, we'd ask questions like, so-and-so has the blueprint. One theme this week has been, oh, the Eagles can duplicate that Giants blueprint with the pass rush up front. Is that legitimate or no?
I don't think so, because I think Tom, he's seen it. I think he anticipates it. I think he understands where the threat is at. But I also believe that Josh McDaniels will have a great game plan. I think they're going to struggle. The Eagles defense will struggle with those short, quick passes. And those corners, remember how aggressive they play. And Eli Manning, a lot of double moves and things like that. So there are some opportunities to beat those young, aggressive corners. They play 10, 12 yards off. So Tom, he's going to pick them apart if they do that.
Do you still feel that connection to the Patriots?
I do, and I'm fortunate because, like I was telling this guy, I've been working for NBC for 9 years, and every third year we're covering the Patriots. With Seattle, we did it, you know, when we were in Indianapolis, and, you know, now it's just like, wow, man, I can't believe they're still doing it.
Rodney, great to see you, man.
Thank
Always
you, bro.
A pleasure.
You too, man. God bless.
All right.
Good job.
All right, thank you. So after Rodney Harrison and I caught up and discussed the game, he moved to the roundtable to speak with assembled reporters about the broadcast and about the matchup and how he sees it. Let's listen in.
I think you were with the Patriots when Romeo left. What sort of dynamic does that add to a game like this when you know the coordinator's leaving for a head coaching job? After
I don't think they're paying much attention to it because they're focused on this one game, and the Patriots have that unique ability to do that. The players, the coaches, because you never hear Belichick talking about the next opponent. He's always singularly focused on the one opponent, and I think that carries throughout the locker room.
Right, what do you remember about Mike Vrabel and how he was head coach in your mind?
Mike was always considered pretty, and we had a lot of smart guys on our team, but Mike was probably considered the smartest guy on our defense. I mean, like, brilliant. And the cool part about Coach Belichick and Romeo Crennel and Dean Pease, our former defensive coordinators, they allow us as players to kind of coach within each other. And so there are a lot of adjustments made with Mike Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi and things like that. Mike is a natural leader. He's going to give you, like, as a player, he's going to tell it like it is, and he's not going to hold back.
Having played the position and being in a position where you're trying to lay big hits, what did you think of the Barry Church hit that knocked Gronkowski out in the AFC title game?
Barry made a conscious effort to lead with his shoulder. And at the last minute, a couple inches here, a couple inches there, it's helmet to helmet. But I do believe they need to look at intent. And I believe his intention was to hit with. So I didn't really like the call.
How do you think Coach Belichick will go? How long do you think
you know, I asked him that question at the beginning of the year, and he's just said, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good. That's what he says. But my thing was, maybe he's standing there to firmly entrench his kids, his boys, in that organization. And once his sons get firmly entrenched in the organization, maybe he walks away in a few years.
What did you think of that report a few weeks ago from ESPN about the kind of strife between Robert Kraft and Belichick?
They should have wrote a story with me and my wife, because we have strife sometimes. Are you married?
Yes.
You have strife sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes she won't talk to me for a couple of days. It happens when you're in a long-term relationship. It happens. That's a relationship. That's a partnership. The thing that I see with those guys are they respect one another. And Belichick knows how to push Tom Brady more so than anybody. So it's a healthy, respectful relationship. Do I agree with my wife? Do I agree with Mike Vrabel and all the calls? No, but it happens, and you learn to work through it.
Rodney, I wanted to get your take on the Patriots safeties, Harmon, McCourty, and Chung, and what they've been able to do.
Oh, I love them. I love them. I think Chung, man. I love Chung's versatility. McCourty, I had one kind of mindset about him, but when I got a chance to spend some time with him last week, he really changed my mind. I mean, he's been a captain, what, 7 straight years. The leadership, just the way he looked at me and talked to me. These guys are focused. Everyone's talking about Philadelphia being an underdog. These guys look at themselves as the underdog. Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, you know, guys have been hurt and injured and things like that. So, but they've done a wonderful job of rotating those safeties. And it all started back when I was there. You know, they had the 3 rotation of the safeties and things like that. So there's always a wrinkle. Do you remember in 2000? When we played against the Eagles, we started like 6 linebackers and 1 defensive tackle. These are all the different things that Belichick does with all his players.
How do you expect these teams to attack each other?
I think for the majority of the game, you're going to see, you know, they're going to stick to their game plan. I mean, nothing really changes that much. But I do believe that Philadelphia can score and score a lot of points. I mean, once again, I look at this defense, and it's really nothing about this defense that scares me. Yeah, the Patriots defense is nothing that really scares me personally, but I know they don't have big names or great players, but they have guys that work well together.
Ronnie, what do you think of the perception out there that the Patriots get preferential treatment from the officials?
It's dumb. Everyone hates us. I mean, everywhere I go, I'm serious. I mean, everyone hates us. Like, everywhere I go, people hate us. They talk. You know, I walk into the gym after, the Falcons game, and people, look at them. When you're a Patriot, you're just an enemy with everyone else. You know, it's the Patriots and it's everyone else because everyone's trying to be like the Patriots.
We've heard a lot about Tom Brady in practice and sort of his legendary intensity. Do you have memories of that?
He's such a crybaby in practice. He is. I mean, I remember in the Super Bowl, I picked him off and, you know, I'm running and I'm high-stepping, doing my little Dion, and he was mad. He didn't talk to me for 3 days. He's yelling, screaming, cussing at me, and he's such a crybaby because anytime he doesn't complete a pass, he says, oh, you guys are holding. And I asked Devin McCourty the same thing, and he just started laughing. He says, yeah, that's Tom. He's always screaming about holding and penalties and things like that. But Tom, he's a very competitive guy, but we used to kick his butt in practice. That's why I know how to defend him.
So does whoever he was targeting on that play, did they get an earful?
No, he never blames it on offensive players. It's always the defense.
Really? You hear about him yelling at receivers all the time.
Well,
you see it, too.
And yelling at coaches. I'm just kidding.
Rodney, you know, Josh McDaniels gets that innovator label. But a lot of guys, that gets thrown around a lot. In his particular case, why do you think it's fitting, if you agree that it is? You know, whether it be his play calling, or just the way he sees the game, whatever.
I love Josh, and it's nothing against Josh, but I think when you have a great quarterback who's done it on the highest level, I think you have to have an understanding that I don't have to overcoach this guy. I don't have to micromanage him. And I think they have a great relationship, but I also believe that he's not afraid to get in Tom Brady's face, just like Bill O'Brien, and let him know. You know, and I think you have to have that. Players don't respect a coach that will bow down. Players respect a coach that will stand up for what he believes. And I think that's what Josh is.
Rodney, what have you seen from Malcolm Butler this year? It seems like there's been a little drop off in his play.
I think I've been a guy that's played for a contract. And I think he put a lot of pressure on himself to perform on a high level. You know, and the plays that he was making plays that a $12, $15 million a year cornerback was making, like a Patrick Peterson. And I think this year he came in and he knew he's a free agent. But I think when you evaluate him, he's a guy that competes. He'll get in your face. He doesn't point the finger at anybody. He accepts blame. So I still think he's going to get his money. You got to understand that. He's playing in a very difficult system as well, you know, and a lot of scrutiny all the time. I think he's a tremendous young player, and I think somebody's going to pay him.
On the other side with Gilmore, is he doing all the things a Patriots cornerback does, or have they sort of put him in a situation where he's just doing the things he's comfortable with? In the beginning of the year, it seemed like he didn't know the full catalog of coverages, wasn't comfortable with it.
I asked him that, and, you know, the thing that he told me was just, hey, you know, I'm a lot more comfortable. He's comfortable now. I think they simplified a lot of different things. And you don't have to do a lot when you know your offense can put up 28 points, 35 points. So I believe the philosophy is bend but don't break. And then once you get the lead, you force them to become a little bit more conservative like Jacksonville did. But that's all I have for you.
But why does bend but don't break work? It seems like part of that is Bill saying,
well,
like,
it's the offense, right?
Yeah.
Everything's predicated off that offense. If you have an offense that can't score points, you can't play that type of defense. You know, Jacksonville understood we have and I'm being nice here, an average quarterback in Blake Bortles, right? We have an average quarterback. But as a defense, we have to make sure our defense is our best part of our, you know, our team to create turnovers, to score on defense. And it's hard to maintain that.
Relationship with Tony Dungy and what's going on in the set with you guys and Dan. You seem to be having an awful lot of fun these days.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we've been together for 9 years, and when I first sat down to do an interview, Coach Belichick walked in and he said, hey, man, you guys have really done a great job. I said, like, I never thought you guys could get along together. And I'm like, he's not a likable guy. He's a very likable guy. I love Coach Dungy. He's so smart, and he's the second smartest guy I know in football because Bill Belichick is number one. And he, I think he's heard me say that before, but it's not a diss. You know, because Bill is just so damn smart, and Dungy is really, really smart. So it's really been an honor for me to be able to sit next to Coach Dungy because he's taught me so much, and to be in that locker room with Belichick for 6 years, it's been amazing.
Roddy, when you were on the Patriots, how much did you have to sort of subjugate, push down your personality?
And
was it worth it?
Now, that's a great question. And if you ask me the difference between, like, our team and Coach Belichick then and now, I think it's that. I think he's allowing these guys like Gronk to have these personalities, to go out and party and drink and be, you know, and do their thing and do whatever they have to do. That's their personality. With us, it was more so, hey, it's all about the team, keep your personality down. And that's why a lot of players, a lot of people don't respect the players. They respect us, but they don't really hold us in high regard because we were never individuals saying, hey, I should be in a Hall of Fame, or hey, I had 138 tackles, I should be a first team all pro. We never had that. We just was always focused on the next game.
I was just going to say, when you went back, was it worth it?
Of course it was worth it because it got me 2 Super Bowl rings. It taught me a lot about how to coach because I do coach football and basketball. But I think the most important thing is, you know, making sure that every individual guy has a way to express themselves and respecting that.
That was Patriots legend and NBC Sunday Night Football studio analyst Rodney Harrison. We go from one opinionated person to another, from Rodney Harrison to Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. He's going to join us next. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. If you like season tickets, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. I'm joined now by Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. And Dan, it's been an interesting week so far here in Bloomington, Minnesota at Super Bowl 52. And we had some actual news yesterday relating to Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, in the concussion protocol. He participated in this little video game challenge, Madden 18, against his former teammate, LeGarrette Blount, who now plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. Those two guys simulated the Super Bowl on the Madden 18 video game, and LeGarrette Blount won, the Eagles won, so hopefully that doesn't happen in the real game. But the news out of that was Gronk saying that he expects to be out of the concussion protocol today, and he was asked point blank if he expects to play on Sunday, and he said yes.
I'm not the guy to say, oh, I'm out of the protocol. That's the doctor's calls. And hopefully that it's very, very soon.
But do you think you'll play, Gronk? Do you think you'll play on Sunday? Do you think you'll play on Sunday?
Yes.
You think you'll play?
Yes.
Oh, good.
All right.
That's absolutely a positive thing for the Patriots. It comes as no surprise to most of us because going back to the helmet-on-helmet hit that day, I'm like, well, that's really bad, but they've got 2 weeks here. 2 weeks, he wants to be in this game. I don't know the safety issues as well as Dr. Cantu or Gronk's parents, but I'm sure the people who love him and care about him and understand the dangers are going to sign off on this because the guy wants to play, and 2 weeks is a pretty good period of time for a guy like him.
Yeah, and he's already been out in practice. We don't know if he's taking contact or what the level is, but he's advanced far enough in the concussion protocol that he was out at practice when there were practices back in Foxborough. Look, the reality is if you take Gronk out of the Super Bowl, it looks markedly different. I mean, you look at that and you think the job for the Eagles is slowing down Tom Brady gets so much easier. And we've seen this before. When you go back to Super Bowl 46 against the Giants, Gronk played in Super Bowl 46, but he was dealing with that ankle injury he had suffered in the AFC title game against the Ravens. He wasn't the same guy, and the Giants knew it. Like, as soon as that game started, they're shouting decoy, and the Patriots' offense was not the same without Rob Gronkowski, who is a matchup nightmare. And he's one of those guys, Dan, where even when he's covered, he's not covered. And Bill Belichick talked about that Super Bowl and why they didn't win that year. And he did something he never does. He basically said, oh, we didn't have this player. I mean, this is a guy who looks at players and says they're all interchangeable. They're cogs in the machine. He's like, well, you know, Gronk was hurt. He wasn't really himself. That's why we lost. Yeah, they won it last year without Gronk playing in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. But they had Julian Edelman. So no Julian Edelman, no Gronk. Good luck.
Yeah, we saw what happened to the offense the week after the Buffalo game when Gronk got suspended. They went down to Miami, and a not very good Dolphin team beat them. And that was really the main reason why. I mean, he took them out of that game because Tom's weapons, they were exposed for what they had, and the Miami defense was able to capitalize on that. So, yes, I agree. This is, it creates new problems for the Eagles, but they knew this was coming. They prepared for this, and it's just going to make it a better game.
Yeah, absolutely. So Gronk is a must for the Patriots in this game. Like I said, matchup nightmare, I think, for Philadelphia. They'll probably put Malcolm Jenkins on him. Malcolm Jenkins, one of Philly's best defensive players and a great, great safety. But just from a size standpoint, that's a total mismatch. And like I said, when Gronk is going down the field, he's one of those guys, much like Randy Moss, when Randy Moss played for the Patriots, where if you're Tom Brady, you have the confidence to just throw it up to him and that he can go up and make a play. And sometimes that's what you need in a Super Bowl. You just need a guy to go up and just make the play. It's not always going to be all about X's and O's. So that's definitely good news. A little more injury news here, Dan. So Tom Brady spoke with the media yesterday at the Patriots availability, and he was still wearing the glove. We know the stitches are out.
of the right hand, the 12 stitches he had, but he was still wearing, he looked like Michael Jackson. He had like the glove on the one hand, the right hand, and he was asked about it, and he said he didn't feel like it was exactly where he wanted it to be. Any concern with Tom Brady's hand going into this game?
Easy for me to say, but no, I have no concerns on that. He played well enough, certainly, in the last game when it was just 4 days after he got the stitches. So now you're looking at 2 weeks and 4 days. And I noticed when Willie McGinnis went up to talk to him at the beginning of his interview session on Monday, you know, he didn't do the right hand handshake or pull each other up or that kind of thing. So no, hand's not ready for that yet. So yeah, there's still something going on there, and he's hiding it from us. That's fine, but I cannot believe that that will be a factor in this game. I think we can take Gronk out of the mix, and we can take Tom's hand out of the mix as mysteries going into this game.
And you mentioned the way he played against the Jaguars. I mean, that's now you're talking about 2 weeks after that to heal, but 26 to 38, 290, two touchdowns. He lit it up in the fourth quarter. So if he could do that, and he was doing that with the stitches, now with no stitches, you should feel pretty good about it. But it's still, I think for every Patriot fan, it makes them a little nervous, Dan, that he's still wearing this glove and that when he's asked about it, he's not like, oh, it's good. You know, because Tom's normally somebody who's like, I'll be there, it's not a big deal. He downplays his injury. What do you make of him? So he's played up this injury.
Wow, well, that's the new Tom. This is the Tom he didn't have 12 years ago, 15 years ago. The new Tom, the branding Tom, the TB12 Tom, the watch my Instagrams during the week Tom. He's kind of milking this. And I think that's what led to Belichick last week after that game against Jags saying, hey, it wasn't open heart surgery. You know, I think Bill's, you know, not that happy that this is being made a bigger deal than he feels it needs to be. Guys play hurt, guys play. Tom, it's a very important thing. The hand of a quarterback,
yes,
the stitches, that's a big deal. But the way he played in the Jags game, I stopped thinking about that immediately after that game.
Do you buy, so this glove he's wearing is from, you mentioned, you know, sort of the big sell. He said it's in Under Armour.
It's Under Armour, just made it for me. It's a great glove. It's got a lot of recovery in it, and that's what I need this time.
Of course, it's got some sort of magnetic deals that are healing him that everyone's going to have to go out and buy right now with TB12.
I want to talk to you about something that I found really fascinating about being here in Minnesota. Back in New England, everybody looks at the Patriots as obviously the favorite team there, but they assume everybody outside of New England hates the Patriots. We've seen the shirts. They hate us because they ain't us. Patriots versus everybody. That's not the case here. They've gotten a very warm Midwestern welcome. These Vikings fans are more upset about the fact that they lost the NFC Championship game to the Eagles, who ruined the idea of this home Super Bowl, than they are about the Patriots winning a sixth Super Bowl. They don't care about the dominance. They just want to see a little bit of revenge and retribution for the team that eliminated their team. So it's really interesting. The Patriots are the good guys this time here.
Correct. In the region where we are, where the game is being held, that is absolutely correct. All the people, the merchants, the people who work in security, people at your hotel, everywhere you go, folks are hoping the Patriots win because they are mad at the Eagles for knocking their team out. The Eagles knocked the local team out, so they're the bad guys. Picture this, Chris. Picture if the World Series were held at a neutral site and it were in Boston, and there was a World Series, and the Yankees just kicked the Red Sox ass to make it to the World Series to play the Pirates. You know, all of Boston would be Pirate fans because they're so mad that the Yankees took their local team out of it. So you really, it makes perfect sense. I'm surprised we didn't anticipate it. It is rampant. They all love the Patriots here. Not sure how that translates on game day if the Eagle fans show up and represent. Around the country, there's great Patriot fatigue. In Minneapolis, there is not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really fascinating, again, that they're just more upset about the fact the Eagles eliminated them. You know, the pain that's raw, the pain that's fresh, versus you have this dynasty that's dominated the NFL that a lot of people, frankly, are sick of seeing. The Minnesota fans, they don't care. They just want to see their enemy, the Philadelphia Eagles, go down. So that's been something that's been interesting and a little bit surprising about the Super Bowl. As we get closer and closer to the actual game, it's been really, I would say it's been a very civil Super Bowl, from the Minnesota fans, you know, welcoming the Patriots, to the two teams respecting each other and not really giving us anything to bite into.
I've been doing my part to drum up some anger from the Eagles fans. I got part two of my installment on why the Eagles can't win running today in the Boston Globe, which is part two is Nick Foles. Part one ran yesterday, and it was Doug Peterson. And those are the two reasons that they cannot win.
Well, at least Nick Foles is getting some respect now, because in the media lounge when we first got here, they had donuts the first day. And they were Tom Brady donuts and Carson Wentz donuts. They didn't have a Nick Foles donut. But now you saw a Nick Foles
donut
in there.
There are Nick Foles donuts down there today, proving that Bill Belichick literally can have Nick Foles for breakfast.
I like it. I like it, Dan. That's great. That's gold. All right, that's Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe joining us here on Season Ticket as we come to you from the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. Thanks a lot, Dan.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll be back from Radio Row at the Mall of America tomorrow. See you then.